it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into our Tuesday, October 14th edition of Sports Talk, folks. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long bringing it till 7 p.m. Then we'll have the Saints Hour with Mike Haas coming up on WWL 105.3 FM. That's because at 6:30 on the Big 870 AM, we've got hoops tonight. The Pelicans taking on the Rockets in Birmingham. Pregame 6:30, tip-off 7 p.m. on the Big 870 WWL AM to help us break things down. Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast joining us now. Jake, how you been doing, man? And thank goodness some preseason hoops are here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on talking basketball with y'all here. We get to see the Pelicans play an NBA team, even though they played some preseason games last week. So this is going to be a much better measuring stick, I think, for New Orleans to kind of see where they are heading into what's going to be a really interesting season.
Jay, curious your take on things. You know, they played those two games in Australia against non-NBA squads. Pel's 2-0 right now, and I hear a lot of fans grumbling and groaning right away saying, of course they're 2-0. Look who the competition they were going up against. But overall, your takeaways from their time in Australia for this Pel's squad?
Yeah, you know, when you looked at those two games that they played, they're not playing NBA teams. You don't need to look at the final score. The Pelicans were always going to win those games, and they should really win those games running away, which more or less they did. That was really about the eye test for New Orleans. Do things just look right for this team? And it starts with Zion Williamson. A lot has been made about the shape that he's coming into the season with. A lot has been made about the talk that he said at media day and the interviews that he's given about kind of where he is at physically and mentally. And he needed to back that up a little bit. You wanted to see some action behind it in terms of on the court. And the way he just moved out there, just looking really better than we've ever seen him before. Take away the other players on the court. Did he just move quicker than what we've seen from him in the past? And, you know, truthfully, it looked like he did. You know, in limited minutes last year, he played the best basketball of his career. And keeping him healthy and playing out there is going to be massively important for New Orleans. That's an understatement. But he is past the eye test, I think. And now we'll get to see him in this game against the Houston Rockets playing against NBA-level players. Does that still follow? That's kind of what I'm watching for with him. But he looked good in Australia just with the movements that you wanted to see from him. You know, that was similar for a guy like Trey Murphy III. This is someone who's going to be taking on a larger role. You could argue he's the number two guy in terms of offense on this team. He played like it. You've seen the expanded bag from him. Again, remove everybody else from the court here. This is not a player that's going to be able to make mid-range jumpers off the dribble unless he's actually capable of doing that. And you can see the work that he's put in to become a three-level scorer this year. And that was on display in the one game that he played. And then simple as things as like just the vibes around the team, to use a millennial word here. You know, there's a lot of team chemistry that they are building. They seem to really feel like they can compete, and there's a lot of belief inside the building and with this organization, and you saw that. They looked like they were having some fun out there. It's just the bad vibes from last year are kind of gone. It feels like a clean slate going forward, and I think having that belief that you can win every game is a really important thing. So, yeah, they weren't playing against NBA-level competition, but I do think you saw what you wanted to see from New Orleans with their trip to Australia.
You know, one thing when we talked, Jake, with Todd Graffinini late last week about the Pelicans' practice sessions, they already did training camp and all that good stuff ahead of, you know, their trip to Australia, which is just unbelievable. The first NBA team to play against an NBL team out in Australia. It's a real kind of landmark moment. It's neat. But just the thing that Graf kept mentioning over and over again was the intensity at practice is super, super high. Willie Green is kind of taking a different approach this season as well. Talking about the clean slate that you had mentioned, it's a clean slate for everybody. And just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on what you've observed from them at practice, because it feels like the early returns are very, very positive.
Yeah, you know, this is a team that actually has a lot of hunger, I think, when you look at the roster composition right now. And there was a lot of turnover. The Pelicans actually rank the, like, 30th out of 30 in terms of roster continuity going into this season. So they've turned over this roster more so than any other NBA team has. And you look at these guys, and they're hungry to prove things. Zion Williamson has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's hungry to prove that he can be healthy and that he can be an all-NBA level kind of guy and isn't a bust as a number one overall pick that's not living up to his potential. Trey Murphy is eager to prove that he's an all-star this year. He said that is one of his goals that he wants to achieve this year. You have rookies in Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen. Those are young guys that are eager to prove they belong in the NBA and to live up to their draft standing. You have Jordan Poole, who's coming from a losing two seasons with the Washington Wizards, to this team where he shows he wants to, you know, where he wants to prove that he was the guy that we saw with the Golden State Warriors, who helped lead them to a title. You even have someone like Sadiq Bey, who's missed about a year and a half of basketball, who wants to come in and prove that he's a rotation guy and a winning player. And that's just leading to an intensity in practice, I think, that's going to hopefully carry over to the regular season, an iron sharpens iron kind of idea here. So the practices have seemed really good. It just seems like this team feels a little bit refreshed from where they ended last season. Help's going to certainly do that and make these guys kind of get out there and be able to play a little bit more. But I feel really more optimistic, I think, about the start of this year than I was at the end of last season.
Yeah, Jake, you mentioned Jordan Poole. It seems like him and Zion Williamson have already developed quite a good relationship, chemistry blooming going forward. Just wondering what you've noticed from those two.
You know, I don't think it's just him and Zion. I don't think it's just Jordan Poole and Zion Williamson. I think it's Jordan Poole with everybody.
Okay.
They all love the guy here. This is someone who's just got a really great personality. You can see he's going to be a fan favorite here in New Orleans and just brings some of that, you know, I don't want to use a Dell Demps phrase here, but that young veteran kind of mentality. This is someone who's won a title, who knows what it takes. This is someone who can go out and be a 20-point-per-game scorer on a nightly basis, and he's just trying to teach and just improve whatever this team is trying to build towards right now. And I think you're seeing him do that. And, you know, as I talk to players at Media Day and throughout practices, you know, that concept of chemistry is really important. The concept of a culture is really important. When you have someone that makes things fun and you're excited to show up to work because Jordan Poole is joking around, but also goes really hard in practice, it makes you want to do that as well. And so you're seeing a lot of new guys step into leadership roles in this team, and Jordan Poole certainly is one of them. And you can see it with the way that Zion Williamson talks about him, that Trey Murphy talks about him, but even the rookie Jeremiah Fears, who's trying to take his spot if he plays well enough, you know, they have a good relationship. So he seems like he was a really good culture fit and a really good move by Joe Dumars to bring him in here.
It was almost a little bit of a controversial move at the time, Jake, but if you listen to anyone, and you're 100% right, anyone, whether it be Joe Dumars, whether it be Willie Green, whether it be the Pelicans players, they all have been raving about Jordan Poole. I remember Dumars talking about how like basketball is his life and he's a complete gym rat. Like, he can't get him out of the gym necessarily. But with Jordan Poole specifically, the range of opinion on this player is so wide, almost as wide as any kind of quote-unquote star in the NBA. If you think that he could be, you know, the third best player on a championship team like he was in Golden State, or if you think that what you saw in Washington with kind of the empty calorie numbers that didn't really necessarily contribute to winning, which kind of player you think he is, it just feels like, you know, Jordan Poole, going back to your point about proving people wrong, I think that he's right up there as well about proving the doubters wrong and then also proving the people that do believe that he can be one of those types of players that he was in Golden State, proving them right.
Yeah, I think when you look at him, you know, he's a polarizing player. I think that's kind of safe to say. You know, is he the guy that he was in Washington, empty stats, as you said, or is he the guy that was a very key piece for a Golden State Warriors team that won an NBA title? And the answer probably lies somewhere in the middle. He's going to have flashes of brilliance with this team. And then, look, he might do some things that make you scratch your head and be like, you're not Michael Jordan, get the ball to Zion, or something along those lines. And that's going to be fine, as long as it kind of, you know, is a positive over the course of hopefully 82 games, that's going to work out in favor of the Pelicans here, I think. You know, when it comes to Jordan Poole, the most important thing for him is he has a skill set that this team needs. You saw throughout the past couple of years just a lack of guys who can create their own shot and create for others here. Jordan Poole can create his own shot. He was actually one of the best pull-up shooters last year in the league, especially from three. He shot over 45% on pull-up three-pointers. So he had the ball in his hands, he was dribbling on the perimeter, and then put up a shot, and it basically just went in, and he was elite at that. And when you have a player that can do that, you have to put a defender or two on him at all times when he has the ball in his hands. That frees up Zion Williamson. That frees up Trey Murphy to have a little bit more space to operate, and that's something that this team had been lacking for a while. To have a guy that can do it from deep, not necessarily from mid-range like Brandon Ingram could, but from three where it improves your court spacing, that is a skill set this team needs. He can also play downhill, attack the basket, which should really be a strength of this Pelicans roster. And overall, it kind of follows what Joe Dumars wanted to do this summer, was get a lot more creation, whether that was their own individual shot or creating for others on this team. That is something that has been addressed with this roster. So even if he has those moments where you're like, what are you doing, Jordan Poole? This team's still going to be elevated by the skill set that he brings to New Orleans.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking with Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, joining us here. And Jake, just curious if you have any kind of maybe a checklist for fans tonight that they should be looking for in this matchup against the Houston Rockets. What you're looking for? What are some things that you'd like to check off from this Birds team right now going into the year?
You want to see the Pelicans starters win these minutes. If you go back to 2 years ago when they won 49 games, it was a good season. They did that a lot by their bench beating up on other teams' benches. The starters weren't particularly effective. That can do well in the regular season. That's not going to win you games in the postseason whatsoever. You need your starters to beat opponent starters. I want to see what happens here. Really, this first quarter is going to be really interesting to me. If the starting unit, you know, gets a lead on this good Houston Rockets team that's added Kevin Durant and had an elite defense last year, that's a really good sign for feeling optimistic about this Pelicans team. If Zion Williamson is still able to get downhill and score at will against a good defensive Houston Rockets team with a really good big man rotation in Alperen Şengün, in Clint Capela, and others, that's a really encouraging sign here, I think. So you're looking for those kind of things. If the starters do really well, I feel New Orleans is going to be in a really good place because that's just simply what you need at the NBA level. When it comes to other guys, I'm looking at someone like Jeremiah Fears, the rookie. He plays downhill. That dude, zero fears, literally describes him. He can miss every shot, but he's not going to stop driving, attacking, putting pressure on the rim. It's one thing to do that against, you know, teams in Australia. It's another thing to do that at the NBA level. And I'm curious to see how efficient he is. I don't care about him making the shots. Is he simply finding ways to get into the paint and get a shot attempt up or getting fouled? That's what I'm watching for him in this game. You know, for going back to the starters, Trey Murphy, what's his role going to look like? Is he the number two guy? Is he the number three guy? Where does Jordan Poole fit into that? Those are the things I think we're trying to kind of still feel out for New Orleans. And also keep an eye on the center battle. It was Kevon Looney starting in Australia, but I thought Eve Mesi had a very good showing as a second-year player that has added a lot to his game. That's someone that they could really use a lot of growth from. You might see it on display in this one, and that could potentially earn him the starting spot on opening night.
You know, Jake, building off of something that Joe Dumars had said at not the introductory press conference, but kind of like right before media day, I think it was that Monday, he had brought up the fact that building a roster with a lot of depth and being able to play 10 to 12 players a night and having all those guys play at a maximum effort and then the wins will follow, when he was asked about what the win expectation should be for this roster. Do you think that this Pelicans team specifically has more depth than they've had in years past with the moves that Dumars has made, bringing in these two premier rookies and then also the second round pick Micah Peavy, who's apparently been really good, but also bringing in Sadiq Bey and Jordan Poole to the mix? Already the core of this team being Zion Williamson, Herb Jones, and Trey Murphy, it just feels like they've brought in extra pieces and they have a deeper roster than maybe they've had at least last year, but within the past couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I think it's about what we saw from this team 2 years ago. And I think the depth can be important, but I think depth can be overrated too. You know, you don't want to be playing 11, 12 men on any given night. And when you get into the postseason, you're playing 8 or 9 guys, 10 at the most. So the depth kind of runs out a little bit as you're trying to win games in the postseason. Now you got to get there first. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. I think more than just depth, they're looking for insurance. Insurance if Zion Williamson goes down. I think that was partially why they traded for Derek Queen. Zion Williamson has such a unique skill set, and Derek Queen also has such a unique skill set that maybe you can sub one in for the other, and that can help you keep moving if you need to. You know, I think with depth on the wing, you've seen injuries to Trey Murphy, injuries to Herb Jones. Getting a Sadiq Bey there is kind of insurance should one of them go down, that you can at least get some of the production from those guys, the defense from those guys. That's, I think, what they're looking to do. They're almost trying to kind of like injury-proof their roster a little bit. And if they do that by getting depth and some of those guys go down and you get 80% of their production, the team's talented enough that they can kind of live with that, I think.
Jake, thanks so much for the time as always, man. Tell folks where they can find you and more of the Locked On Pelicans podcast info.
Yeah, Locked On Pelicans, wherever you get your podcasts. It's on YouTube as well. We're now on the Gulf Coast Sports and Entertainment Network every weekday at 10:30 a.m., so we'll be there all season long. 5 days a week, covering all the games. Not going to miss a thing. It's going to be a lot of fun, or at least a very interesting season. So just find the Locked On Pelicans podcast basically everywhere.
Awesome stuff. Jake, are you going to be going live tonight, or are you doing a recap tomorrow?
Well, it'll be probably, the show will probably be out like 30 minutes after the game ends or so.
Awesome stuff. Always great to hear from you, Jake. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
That's the Locked On Pelicans podcast host Jake Madison getting ready for that 6:30 pregame coverage on 870 AM, a 7 o'clock tip-off against the Rockets.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.